We're going to be in Proverbs 9 this morning. If you're using the blue Bibles in front of you, you're going to find this on page 632. Page 632. As you're turning there, let me thank the music team. Guys, that was phenomenal. But, I was reminded in that last song, I was thinking about the Christians singing together and the cries of the armies of God. Man, that was beautiful. So we're in Proverbs 9 as a quick introduction. About a year ago, I preached my first sermon here before all of you in chapter 8. We ended that sermon with a look at that last verse of chapter 8, "All who hate me love death." And I think every sermon leaves something on the table, but I walked away from that one thinking, I really could have done a lot better. So this concept of hating wisdom is to love death. I want to talk about that a little more. We're going to keep that in mind as we look at chapter 9. Before I read my text, I'll go ahead and let you know I intend to make 3 points clear to you from this text this morning. The three points are: hearken unto the voice of Lady Wisdom. If you don't, you'll die. The voice of wisdom is the voice of Jesus. So, chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn her 7 pillars. She's slaughtered her beasts. She mixed her wine. And she has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he'll hate you. Reprove a wise man and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he'll increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years added to your life. If you are wise, you're wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She's seductive, knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat at the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he doesn't know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. This is the word of the Lord, and so we say, thanks be to God. So in chapter 8 last year, my applications to you in that text were to reject Madam Folly and to reject, ladies, to reject the temptation to be Madam Folly. And those things are true and they stand. But my hope here today is to offer some perspective so that we can see the beauty of Lady Wisdom, learn to recognize this Madam Folly character and her ability to kill. I say perspective because I hope when we're done here this morning, you'll recognize her work, maybe see some of the victories she's claimed around you. Lady Wisdom calls you to leave behind your ignorance and your foolishness. She calls out to you in chapter 8, she calls. Chapter 9, she calls. Her young women call. But she's inviting you to leave behind your ignorance and follow her. This may seem like something of a strange sort of calling. I thought of this interaction I had recently at work. Most of you know I've been a detective in Pineville for many years now. Recently, due to some staffing issues, much to my dismay, I took on an additional role as a juvenile investigator. That's in addition to the cases I've been working for years now. But what that means is that I regularly get to interact with the most foolish people. So a few weeks ago, I'm interviewing this kid. He's committed all the crimes. And so I've got him in an interview room. He confesses to this case I've been working on. And I go on to counsel him a little bit. And I say to him, you can't just do whatever you want to do. And what do you think he said to me in reply? No, no, better than that. He goes, I know. Okay, right, you probably do know that as a concept. But the reason I use the word perspective here this morning is my aim in that conversation was to give him some perspective to see the ways in which he was living as though he did not know that. And so, it's the same here. Wisdom tells us to hate her is to love death. And it seems like a strange calling because who do you know has ever said, I hate wisdom? No, nobody says that. I love death. Right? I'm confident it was the same way in Solomon's day, but yet he tells us, don't hate wisdom. Why would he say such a thing? Because it's easy, and you know lots of people who live as though they hate wisdom. So my question this morning for you is, where are we, the people in this room, the Church of Jesus Christ, living as though we hate wisdom? Where is the folly? So Lady Wisdom, this is another theme of that first sermon. You may recall I pointed out from Proverbs 8 that Lady Wisdom is a type of Christ. And I say type. The New Testament teaches us to read Scripture in this way, types and shadows. Who are the Scriptures about? Who is the Bible about? Anybody? Jesus. The Bible is all about Jesus. It's not about you and it's not about me, but Jesus is on every page of Scripture. The Old Testament is the Word of God. It is full of wisdom and insight. It's full of admonition to trust Jesus and to trust in the promises of God. The Old Testament is entirely relevant in the life of the Christian. And my point is that we must learn to read the Old Testament in light of its fulfillment in the life and work of the Lord Jesus. It is of great importance that we understand this truth. The Bible is all about Jesus. And he is to be found in types and shadows throughout the Old Testament. And this is what it means to find Jesus on every page. Turn to Luke 24 for just a moment. Do you have that, Amir? In Luke 24, we're told that this is shortly after the resurrection. Jesus encounters two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. And his disciples, they don't recognize him, his resurrected body. It's not every day you run into somebody you just saw killed a couple days ago. These guys are lamenting all the things that had taken place in Jerusalem, saying, we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And in verse 25, Jesus replies, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And look at verse 27. Jesus takes these disciples, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus brought his disciples to the Old Testament for the purpose of demonstrating that the Old Testament is about him. Jesus teaches that the Bible's all about him, so love the Old Testament. Learn to read it in light of the life of Christ. If you need help with that, come talk to me or one of the other elders. Because if you don't understand, if you don't really grasp this concept, the Bible will never really make sense. So Lady Wisdom is to be understood as a sign pointing you to Jesus. So our text begins with these credentials. Lady Wisdom she sets out her resume for us. She's built her house, hewn her pillars, slain her beast, mixed her wine, and from this place of authority, done the work, slayed the beast. She sends her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever's simple, turn and hear this invitation. Leave your simple ways and live. And chapter 9 is bringing more clarity what was in chapter 8. Lady Wisdom is a type of Christ. Leave your simple ways and live. Question, Christian. Who is it that has the authority to offer life to you? Jesus. Nobody but Jesus offers life. And don't miss this. What does Lady Wisdom offer to those who come to her? Verse 5. Eat my bread and drink my wine. Serves you bread and wine. Come on. Lady Wisdom is a type of Christ, the life giver. The one who invites you to this table week after week, offers you bread and wine. The invitation is to come to Jesus and have life. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon beats this drum over and over and over in the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Lady Wisdom is calling us to walk in the way of insight, and here we find that the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So we think we're getting somewhere. Our goal is to see the beauty of Lady Wisdom and understand the way of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Am I supposed to be in terror of the Lord? Kind of. The wages of sin is death. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, says Hebrews 10:31. Apart from Christ, you must be terrified at the idea of a holy God. It is the holiness of the Christian God standing as a threat to all those who are looking to themselves and believing lies and rejecting these words of life. At this point, I want to share an insight. This will serve as a plug to come to Dr. Elkins' home on Thursday nights, because one of the books we read last year was The Whole Christ by Sinclair Ferguson. There was a truth I got out of this book that I pondered and reflected on for a long time and found it to be truly life-changing when I came to understand that the law of God was a supreme act of mercy and grace. The law of God was a supreme act of mercy and grace. He's given you his commands because he's your maker. And I don't mean that simply to say that he has a right to command, like in a because I said so kind of way. I mean to say that your creator has given you commands because as your maker, he understands what's best for you. He knows how he made you. He knows why he made you. And why has he made you? He's made you to worship him. He made you with the capacity for worship. He made you to worship him. He knows that to reject him is to destroy yourself. He knows that you will always worship something, and if you're not worshiping him, you'll destroy yourself. So he put up the guardrails. The commands are the guardrails, keeping you from self-destruction. You ignore them at your own peril. And to reject God's word is to destroy yourself. I know I can demonstrate for you the terrible results of a society that's rejected the word of God in favor of the wisdom of the age. The widespread rejection of the living God has not led us to greater peace. It's given us nothing but fear and confusion. No fear of God, and collectively we turn to the house of Madam Folly. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? Very simply, it means to humble yourself, to know who you are and acknowledge the righteousness of God. I like the way Brian put this in a document to the school recently. He wrote, when our desires conflict with the word of God, we confess God to be righteous and ourselves to be sinners. Humility before God is the fear of the Lord. To acknowledge who you are and that you don't have the capacity for determining what is righteousness, what is for the good of humanity. Such wisdom is higher than us. And so we look to our Creator. To repent and acknowledge the God of your salvation is to hearken the call of Lady Wisdom. To embrace Christ as he's offered to you in the gospel. The Jesus of Scripture calls you to look to him and live. And when you look to him and live, you will notice certain things are happening. I spent a lot of time on this yesterday trying to work out my thoughts on this. At this point, I want to point out like a strange system that I've seen operating in churches today. It's like a belief that that we can set the virtues of Jesus against one another. That some of the virtues of trusting Christ are at odds with one another. Disordered virtues. So, like elevating one of Christ's virtues above the others. Kindness over courage. Gentleness over faithfulness. And don't get me wrong, you can't put faithfulness over gentleness either, but the point is they're not at odds with one another. Our world loves it when we're kind, and they really don't like it when we're courageous. And they love gentleness, but they really hate faithfulness. But the Lord Jesus is not a disordered Savior. The fruit of the Spirit is not a buffet. You don't come to the buffet and select which fruits you want to try. We embrace the whole Christ. And Christ will tell us what love means. Christ will tell us what gentleness means in our day. Christ will tell us what righteousness means in our day. We will not surrender the right of God and his word to tell us what these things mean in his world. Turn in here. And live. It's the offer of Lady Wisdom. So where are we? You must hearken unto the voice of Lady Wisdom. If you don't, you'll die. Wisdom is the voice of Jesus. Madame Folly makes her counteroffer beginning in verse 13. It's an interesting observation that Madame Folly is calling out to the same people, the one who is simple and lacks sense. Come in here. She offers something similar, except with her it's pleasure on the front end and misery to follow, but it's all lies. The Puritans were helpful with this. They were happy to speak of this concept of the momentary pleasures of sin. The Puritans could speak of sin in such a way as to acknowledge that sin can be fun for a time. It promises you things that seem plausible, but in the end they lead to death. We need to understand this Madame Folly character. Remember, our goal is to see what she looks like, learn to recognize her work. So where's Madame Folly today? Don't think Madame Folly looks like the villain. C.S. Lewis understood this character well. Think of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Who's the villain? Jadis. The White Witch. Question, is Jadis a hideous-looking, terrifying beast? No. Jadis is attractive. A smooth, calming voice. And she makes promises. Think of that first interaction with Edmund. She promises him the best life. She'll make all his dreams come true if he'll betray his brothers and his sisters. He does it because she promised to deliver what he really wanted. You may recall it doesn't end well for Edmund. He has to be rescued by Aslan. And we learn that all of her guests have been turned to stone. How does Madame Folly get you? Stolen water is sweet. Stolen water. Think anything God has forbidden. Obviously, theft in this theft is in view in this text, but you could substitute anything sinful. It sounds like this. Adultery is fine. He never really loved you anyway. Dressing in an immodest or provocative manner is necessary. It's empowering. But God has said it's sinful. Madame Folly has promised you that if you do this thing, whatever it is, you'll be happier. She tells you that God is just a rule maker enforcing his little whims and preferences. wants to limit any fun you're trying to have. This is the voice of Madame Folly. You know, I've known people caught up in the sin of adultery. One woman I know said it this way. She said it truly was fun for a time. It involved, there was hiding, pretend, you know, pretending to be somebody you're not, something else. But reality set in, her husband found out. She blamed him, she doubled down. But it wasn't fun anymore. She quickly found that it was just another relationship, oddly similar to the one she just blew up. Momentary pleasure of sin, and then the destruction, and the misery. The bottom line, I think the Christian life is marked by joy and gladness. Obedience to Christ is the way of joy and gladness. And if it's absent in your life, you should ask yourself, what lies are you believing? And I'm not talking about a moment-to-moment feeling of happiness. I had some events this week that led me down a road. I was really dealing with anger and depression for much of the latter half of this week. But I'm really talking about overall, what characterizes your life overall, not moment to moment. Joy and gladness. Madame Folly calls out to you, men and women, offering you the momentary pleasures of sin as she drags you down to Sheol, the place of the dead. She seduces the church too. In the church, she calls out, we can give up this doctrine, it's not really that important. We know what Scripture says, but we can't really hold that line. It's going to cost us too much. How about this one? The church has to give up on this idea of marriage being for one man, one woman. It's just going to be irrelevant. You know, actually, in this church, we're trying to build a culture where we are living life together. We don't let each other live in isolation. We don't let each other suffer alone. But our deep, rich fellowship arms us for the battle with our depression and our anxiety. Pulls us out of our loneliness. I saw a victory during COVID. Madame Folly scored a victory. When she convinced us that our gathering together to worship the living God was not essential. We weren't really made for community. We'd be just fine in isolation. These were lies. Lies that did untold damage to the church. And the main product that Madame Folly is selling is the momentary pleasures of sin. So the stolen water may be sweet, but that doesn't mean it's safe to drink. Many people, even whole denominations, have turned toward her house, believed her lies that faithfulness to Christ just costs too much. So if loving wisdom is to love life, hating wisdom is to love death, what is this death? The death is like this. When you've listened to the voice of Madame Folly for so long, you can't even hear the words of life anymore. Again, C.S. Lewis in The Silver Chair. The Queen of Underland, with her soothing voice, convinces our heroes that there was no such thing as the sun. There was no such thing as overworld. You know, these were silly conjurings of their imagination. No such thing as Aslan. And she almost won simply by lulling them to sleep so they couldn't hear the words of life. So were you asleep? She promises to make your dreams come true, but that's not the world God made. There is no ultimate satisfaction from sin. Sin always begets misery. If not on the front end, then certainly on the back end. This includes the sin of believing in lies about who you are and who God is. It includes the sin of not trusting God and rejecting His word. So in conclusion, Adam Folly makes you an offer. Sells you pleasure on the front end, but it always leads to death. But the invitation of Lady Wisdom is to come. Trusting the Lord Jesus, come. Come to this table and eat her bread and drink her wine and live forever in the name of Jesus. Go. Oh Lord our God, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to open up your word together. Lord, we thank you for the rich joy of the saints of God in your world doing what you made them to do, and that is to glorify you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to turn from folly and to love the words of life. In Jesus' name.